This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett, PhD. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, so you guys wanted a breakdown of exploring the book of Mark, a skeptical Bible analysis. And
we are here to deliver.
We are. This source, like,
it really jumps right in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it jumps right into questioning some of the stuff in the book of Mark. So we're going to unpack
all those arguments,
some of those, thought-provoking points.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the most important things to remember here is that these texts, even the sacred ones, they were written by people, you know, in a very specific historical context. And so when we approach them with a little bit of a critical eye, it helps us, I think, to understand the nuances, the potential for bias that maybe shaped their creation.
Right. And so one of the things that this source really zeroes in on is the fact that Mark was not written like immediately after, you know, everything happened.
Yes.
It was written like around 70 CE, which is a while after Jesus's life.
Yeah, decades later.
So what's the significance of that gap in our understanding?
Well, I mean, that kind of raises some questions, right? I mean, how accurate can a historical
account
be if it's written so long after the event supposedly happened? I mean, think about it. Details can get fuzzy. Stories can morph. Agendas can kind of creep in over time.
Right.
And so it really makes us kind of wonder, are we reading a precise historical account or a blend of, you know, fact and interpretation?
Right.
Maybe even embellishment.
Okay, so speaking of embellishment, the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fish.
Five loaves and two fish, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Always seemed a little bit
fishy.
Fishy to me.
Yeah.
It's meant to be taken literally.
You know, a lot of scholars would say, no, not really. You know, I mean, instead of kind of getting bogged down in the, like, physics of multiplying food, you know, they see it as more of a powerful metaphor. Wow. You know, maybe it represents the kind of boundless spiritual nourishment that Jesus was offering.
Uh-huh.
Or even just, like, the importance of sharing in community.
Right.
Some scholars even connect it back to, you know, older Jewish miracle tales.
Right.
Saying, you know, it's part of a larger storytelling tradition.
Interesting. So it's not about the miracle itself. It's about the message.
A deeper meaning. Yeah.
Right. This source also brings up this kind of clash between Jesus's views on, you know, hand washing.
Right.
And modern hygiene.
Yes.
So it talks about the story of Mark 7, where Jesus is basically like, you know, it's not what you're putting into your body that defiles you.
Yeah. It's what comes out.
It's what comes out.
Right.
So how does that compare to our modern understanding of hygiene?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a stark contrast there, right? I mean, you know, we know now that hand washing is, like, crucial for public health.
Yeah.
You know, but back then, you know, there was a different understanding of how germs worked.
Yeah.
And how disease spread. And so it really, again, you know, this difference highlights how societal norms and scientific understanding, like, totally evolve.
Evolve over time.
Yeah. So what was clean then is not clean now.
Exactly.
And speaking of societal norms,
yes,
there's that story in Mark 5 about the woman with the bleeding issue.
Yeah.
She's been bleeding for years.
Right.
She touches Jesus's garment and she's instantly healed.
Yeah. A powerful story.
What kind of social commentary is embedded in that?
Well, I mean, you know, this story really reflects the kind of limitations that were placed on women in that society, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the woman is ostracized because of her condition.
Right.
She's seen as ritually unclean.
Right.
And so her healing is significant, not just, you know, medically, but also socially, because it allows her to be reintegrated into the community.
Right.
And so it's really a glimpse into the gender dynamics of the time and how, you know, religious beliefs intertwined with social structures.
Yeah. And then there's this other story in Mark 5 where Jesus casts demons out of a man and into a herd of pigs.
Right, right.
Could we view that through a more modern lens of mental health? Oh, absolutely. I mean, today, you know, we might interpret the man's behavior as a symptom of, you know, some kind of mental health condition.
Right.
Rather than demonic possession, you know, which isn't to say that, you know, the story doesn't have power.
Right.
But it just offers us a different perspective, you know, informed by our modern understanding of psychology.
Yeah. And of course, we can't forget about the resurrection.
Right.
which is, you know, the cornerstone of Christian belief,
yeah, right,
described in Mark 16.
Yeah.
And this source does not shy away from,
you know,
the controversy.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Surrounding that.
Yeah. And rightly so, you know, because from a historical and scientific perspective, the resurrection is, I mean, it's highly debated, right?
Right.
It challenges our understanding of physical laws. Mm. There's not really any concrete evidence to support it. And so, you know, believers and skeptics
right.
interpret this event in very different ways.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think the source encourages readers to really kind of grapple with those varying interpretations.
Right.
Adding fuel to that fire.
Right.
There's those discrepancies in Mark's ending.
Yes.
So some early manuscripts end abruptly.
Right. With the women at the empty tomb.
Yeah. And then others add these verses about, like, Jesus appearing
to his disciples, right?
To his disciples, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those variations are fascinating because it really kind of highlights uh-huh. that even sacred texts have a history, you know,
mm.
a journey through time in human hands.
Right.
And so it raises questions about, you know, the original text, how it was copied, how it was transmitted, you know, even maybe potential theological motivations behind those editions.
Right.
It's just a reminder that what we're reading today mm-hmm. is a product of, you know, centuries of interpretation and editing.
Wow. So after this whole, you know, diving into these skeptical arguments,
yep.
what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway is this idea that we need to engage with these ancient texts, even the ones that we consider to be the most sacred,
yeah.
with, you know,
open eyes and critical minds. It's not about abandoning faith,
right.
but it's about enriching our understanding by considering that historical context.
Right.
The potential biases, you know, and how human knowledge has evolved over time.
It's about recognizing the human element.
Exactly.
And yeah. the divine, right.
Yeah.
So listeners, I think, you know, as you go back and you revisit the book of Mark or any religious text, ask yourself, you know, how does your understanding of history, your understanding of science,
mm-hmm.
how does that shape your interpretation?
Right.
And how can embracing those different perspectives deepen your appreciation of these complex, you know, stories that have endured for so long?
Great questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for this one. Thanks.
Yeah.
See you next time.